Welcome to AE Double Back for February 3rd, 2021. Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I will say that.
Go ahead.
Oh yeah, this show ended hot. Wasn't hot all the way through, but yeah.
Look, it was a real 7-Eleven burrito.
I enjoyed it. I thought this was really great. So you know what? We'll have our disagreements throughout the show tonight.
I'm going to bring back this 7-Eleven burrito metaphor that Calder has made, because it is a fine one, and I'm savoring just the image in my head of like a just like a scalding hot thing at the end, and then you get to the middle and you're like, what is this, frozen? How is it still frozen? This thing is so hot. Yeah.
Oh my God. You know,
thank you, Calder.
It's intolerable.
So yeah, I do want to say, if anyone's listening, thank you. Also, continue to listen, because and tell your friends to listen. We have something we can't announce at this point, but it's very, very exciting.
It's crazy.
It's literally insane. And
this doesn't have anything shocking to do with junk food of any of any kind.
Has nothing to do with junk food, has everything to do with wrestling, and I'm pretty sure everyone listening is gonna shit their pants, because I kind of did. So
you know,
I'm assuming you're a little bit like me. Anyways, that's all I can say at this time.
Yeah, if you have pants, you're enough like her that you can say that. Yeah.
Look, who among us has ever been steered wrong by assuming the same state of other people's bowels that is true of our own?
I mean, it's just nice to maybe be considerate of others. If you know you shit your pants a little, prepare them so they can gird those areas. I don't know what gird means.
It's still the loin.
Because I think of it in terms of gird your loins. So I was about to say gird your asshole. That's not a thing.
Your asshole still in your loin.
I think you can gird it. Look, when we make this announcement, you're gonna want to sit down on a toilet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just to be on the safe side.
I mean, I assume that you're already listening to this podcast on the toilet. It is ideal toilet listening.
I mean, is there any other place you listen to podcasts?
And just in case there's an earthquake, take that toilet to a door frame.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just dragging, be real careful over with yourself. Anyways, so that it's going to be a real exciting month, you guys. So we already started the month of February, believe it or not.
If things have been too calm for you.
Yeah, get ready. But we start this month with an incredible beach break. It's a lot of fun. Apparently, it's still freezing. So, you know, beach break as it may, it's still in the 50s, as somebody announced at the top of the night. Anyway, so the first match of the night is I almost said much anticipated, but it's not necessarily much anticipated. It was anticipated.
Yeah. It was known.
There was lots of tag teams in there. I was actually confused, because I thought Jericho and MJF wrestled to find out who was going to be the tag team to represent the Inner Circle.
Right. That was last week.
But then they were all in it. They were all in this tag match. Like, everybody and their mom was in this match. I couldn't even write their names down fast enough, but it was
I would watch an everybody and their mom match.
You know, that would be fun.
For Mother's Day? Heck yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah.
All the moms.
Trent's mom would be there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's it. Just Trent's mom. Man, if the Butcher and the Blade's mom showed up, I just want to see a giant woman with a monocle and a mustache just laying waste to everyone in the ring.
I imagine their mother to be like, what's his face's mom on Goodfellas, that like had no idea what was going on and kept saying like, why don't you get married and find a nice girl? Little does she know her son is like the most vicious, psychotic dude that just goes off on people.
He can still find a nice girl.
You know who I'm talking about. His name was Tommy, I think, in the movie. And now I can't remember the guys. He was also in Home Alone. I'm terrible with
Joe
names.
Joe Pesci?
Yes.
Joe Pesci? Yes. John Hurt?
Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci. Anyways, do you remember the movie Goodfellas? The mob.
Wow.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
The fact that you jumped from Goodfellas to Home Alone.
That's all I know of this guy.
Those are the only two things that Joe Pesci has ever done.
I know, don't ever go look at IMDb and find that out. And My Cousin Vinny, that's it.
Okay, the three movies. The three movies that Joe Pesci has done and nothing else.
And The Super.
What? No. Come on now. You're clearly thinking of another actor that looks a lot like Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci has only done three movies.
Yeah, right? That's it, right?
I think you're thinking of the weird guy that was in all those 70s movies. The guy from Dog Day Afternoon that was Fredo.
Never saw it.
Yeah,
what?
I was just trying to figure out what Calder was going for. So, yes, I'm a fan.
I'll tell you what this match made me want was a match where instead of a tag team eliminator match, it's a tag team adder match, which I guess is just a battle royal. But the goal would be, like, there's not a set limit number of wrestlers or teams. You absolutely keep going until there's no room to move.
That's what it looks like.
Everyone just stands around.
Yeah.
The sharpest elbows wins.
The initial motivation is like, I can't goddamn breathe. We need to eliminate someone.
this was one of those matches where, you know, on the one hand, it can be annoying if you're trying to like pay attention to the action. On the other hand, there's so much action that's actually interesting. And one of the commenters mentioned this, and it is true. Like with a match like this, like you don't know where the danger is coming from. Yeah. So these guys don't know where to like look. They don't know where to protect themselves, all that kind of stuff. It's just total chaos.
For a while, we didn't know where the phone calls were coming from.
It turns out from the house, from inside the house. So Bradley figured it out, though.
if there was a landline in the ring.
You know, there's a bat phone in there. I swear to God, there's a bat phone in there.
I'm sorry. This is match one.
I will say it's real hard to come up with gimmick matches that sort of make sense and like, you know, like even have a reason for existing. And a tag team battle royal is like, how is it different from a battle royal? Oh, like you sort of you have to eliminate both people for their inlet. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But also, this was really well executed. I think that AEW does a real good job of battle royals
and
telling stories within the sort of thing.
Absolutely.
There was a lot of fun stuff.
They absolutely know how to handle. They really do know how to handle like both team stuff, slash big group stuff, under which you can throw like this kind of match, or also just melees in general. Because I feel like they are very smart about giving it that like end of Kill Bill Part One like changes gradations. So that you're like, I can think of the part at the beginning, the middle, the end, each one as they diminished the number of people.
Absolutely.
Like we really got a different match.
Absolutely. I agree with that. They definitely know how to change the rhythm and change the, you know, change it as it goes, you know, in a very specific sense. So you can still see storylines within each segment.
Yeah.
There was a point when one of the announcers called John Silver Johnny Hungy, which I love. And then he did something. He did some move and they said
it was
a significant
suplex.
Night for Hungy. Like not even referring him to Silver. They said a significant night for Hungy.
I do not need them changing his name to Johnny Hungy, but it is a fun nickname.
John Silver had a lot of fun spots.
Luchasaurus had a bunch of fun spots. Listening to people chant the Jungle Boy
I agree.
Theme That worth was every penny that Tony Khan paid for that, for the rights to that.
Talk about
so great
making him a fucking superstar without, you know, I mean, he himself is already one. He's a fantastic performer, but I mean, that really puts him over. Yeah. As the thing went on, we were left with Jungle Boy, one of the members of the Acclaimed and one of the members of Top Flight. Eventually Jericho eliminated, Top Flight, who was the last person standing. And then so Jericho and MJF ended up winning. Jericho accidentally pushed, or seemingly accidentally, who knows, Sammy out.
No.
And he was another one of the last people. So it kind of started some issues. Sammy was upset about it for good reason. So yeah, Jericho and MJF will now go for the belt against the Young Bucks. This whole thing, I gave it a thumbs up.
Definitely, yeah.
Oh yeah.
I thought the finish really sold it a lot more than I was expecting. Because honestly, whenever Jericho wins, I'm always kind of like, eh. I get it, but also eh. But the way they did it with like Top Flight almost winning,
yes,
it like really sold it for me. I was like, okay, yeah, I'm on board with this. This was a lot of fun, and it was really well booked. I really enjoyed it. For some reason, Wardlow was wearing a jacket that made him look super chubby. I don't know why that just drew my eye, but for the longest time, I was just watching him going like, what? You put on like 80 pounds, dude? What's happening?
I think it, because it was it buttoned funny. Sometimes when like jackets aren't buttoned all the way, like they, it just looks funny.
Look, if you're going to be on national TV, wear something flattering.
Oh my God.
I'm not saying that he's a bad person. I'm just saying that there was a poor wardrobe choice made today.
Well, I'll tell you what I think was going on is that Wardlow was sneaking in some outside food and drink.
Look, we all get bloated at least once a month. Okay, leave the guy alone.
Yes, this is a thing that all of us have commonly, including Wardlow.
Yes, bloat is a thing.
It happens. It happens.
We just get moody every 28 days, and just like
I mean, if you don't, I swear you do. I bet you anything, both of you do.
I know for a fact I get moody every time I watch 28 Days Later.
Fair.
Okay.
I'm like, you know what? It's an intense movie, and I'm not happy about all the people that die. And it just takes a few days. That's what I'll say. It
takes 28 days.
We've
got after this, we have a really great Jade promo. I mean, this is how she should have been introduced to us, how she should have been introduced to the AEW audience in the first place. It really showcases that she is this ripped fucking machine. Mm-hmm. It also shows a new graphic for her, which is like this lightning bolt thing. I mean, it is so fucking cool. I was like, this is A+ stuff. If this is all I knew of her, you know, I would never have reason to not like her. And at this point, it's not that I necessarily don't like her. I really want to see her perform. I haven't seen her wrestle yet. And it's like, she's not a good talker. She definitely needs like a Steve Heyman, not Steve Heyman.
Heyman.
I know someone. I know someone named Steve Heyman.
Does he pronounce his name Heyman? Like to there were two words and you're calling him over?
Yes, because he goes, okay, this is how I know him. I knew him through this old job of mine, but like he's an insurance person. So he's like, hey man, the insurance man. So if he pronounces it Heyman, maybe, but I don't know him that way. So she needs a Heyman.
Thank you,
Steve Heyman.
We're not going to start the Moreau business again.
a sketch friend and I used to like to share an abrasive hippie / beatnik character whose trademark line was, "Hey, man, the government is out to get you, man."
That's the dude. Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
Well, this was somebody who was aggressive and had like a political point of view. He did not want to be left alone with his throw rug.
Not to derail the conversation too much, but I used to date someone. I was in a long relationship with somebody who's English, and he and his friends thought I sounded like, now I'm forgetting her name, and I want to say Sheila, and that's not the name, but the blonde Muppet, Janice. Because I say for sure a lot, and
okay,
whatever. And I say man, and I sound like this. sure.
I don't see that, but if you're British, that makes sense.
They're not that wrong, and it's annoying because they're not wrong.
I mean, that's the voice of someone who does not have the electric bill for you.
What?
There's just this like hangdog apologetic like sounding quality to it, like, hey man, I'm sorry, I don't have the money today.
I thought you're trying to allude to Dr. Teeth and the electric mayhem.
Yeah, same. Sorry, man. You got to hang out with like less Muppet savvy folks.
Yeah, right.
I'll tell you what kind of Muppet savvy folks I hang out with. I thought I was Animal, but I was deemed to be the Sam the Eagle. I was the Eagle.
Eagle.
Is what they said. Yeah.
Interesting. I can see that, I guess, but
because I think I have like a dour visage, but I thought I had like a hairy. You know,
I would think Beaker because of the hair. Beaker and the hair to me. That's what I say. Mm. But I don't know. Mm. Look, it could be a lot of Muppets. Let's just be real.
Look, we all have the Muppet we think we are and the one the world tells us we are.
That's true.
Anyhow, now okay, so to rail this, Jade this promo. Conversation.
Jade promo.
Whoa. Watch the...
Jade promo.
Thumbs up. Yes, she looks great. She didn't talk, which is even greater. She needs a mouthpiece. And maybe it's Vicky Guerrero. I don't know if they have plans or what. But what they have now, because basically now her mouthpiece is Shaq, and we will get to the frozen part of the burrito.
Yeah, that's soon. Very frozen. Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. It was I'm disappointed that she doesn't sweat Gatorade in that promo, but other than that, pretty good.
Yeah, it sort of looked like that, didn't it? Then we got Shivani in the ring because he wants to interview Darby Allin and Sting, aka Snow at the Beach. And it starts off where you know this is not going to be fun. And then suddenly Team Taz interrupts and saves us all. They're outside and they must be listening because that dummy kid didn't say anything. And he was on the outside of them. So like the main event stars were all front and center.
My God, the hook hate is just.
Yeah.
I can't stand that kid.
I'll tell you what I noticed is that Hook was on the towards the wing, but he was also a tiny bit upstage from Ricky Starks, and I thought he needed to still be a little downstage.
You know what it reminds me of? Like, it makes me think of I don't necessarily want to make a Trump analogy here, but it's like you're just like getting all the goodwill and all the hard work that someone else did, and you're just like taking it for yourself. You know what I mean? Like he did nothing to earn that, and he's getting it because of these whatever. I can't even put words to it. You know what I mean?
And Hook, I understand how you might want to file a defamation lawsuit for the implied comparison to Donald Trump because you don't deserve that.
No, absolutely not. And also, do we still have that jar out? Or have we moved far away enough?
Mentioning this
from
person,
the dark days.
I mean, I can mention it. It has nothing to do with topical conversation, right? It's not like things that are actually happening. This person that exists on this earth. Anyways, so Stark's got the mic. Fuck yes. Always a good idea. And he's saying to Sting, hey, man, I look in your eye. I don't think you're the same man you used to be. You know, and he's saying to Darby, good luck next week. You're going to need it. Sting then gets the mic, which good idea because Darby sucks. And says, I'm sorry, he sucks on the mic. I'm just going to say that.
Sucks on the mic.
And he says, I'm going to make sure it's one-on-one so that there's no shenanigans of other people jumping into the match. And then he also told Starks to take a closer look, aka come closer and look me in the eye when you say that, which would have been the better phrase, I think. But whatever, it doesn't matter. Still, this whole thing, because of Team Taz and how amazing they are, got a thumbs up.
Okay. I put it in the middle just because, yeah, like every time Shivani's in the ring and he brings out Darby Allin and Sting, I'm like, none of this. And if it like Taz comes in to save the day and it is great, but also then we have to look up super close at Steve's watery eyes, which is that it's not the worst. It's fine. You know, he's doing good for a man of his age, but also
yeah, great. He's doing great.
There's nothing at the end of this road that I want. There's no payoff to this whole thing that interests me in the least. So, like, yeah, I just went in the middle for it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it was a middle for me as well. I was thinking, like, I bet Sting is really good at answering, like, business letters because of how sharp he is about, like citing, like, and our meeting of the 27th, like his promo was organized well.
He was definitely the secretary of any of his school extracurricular clubs.
Sting, can you read back the
minutes?
it was honestly kind of like a very prosaic like retort to like you're not like the legend you used to be, and he's like, look a little closer, and I was like, yeah, looking closer could not hurt. Could confirm.
I hate in a Facebook thread when they're like, well, look it up, man. I'm like, you know what? I don't want to have to do that work. Sting, don't tell me to look into your eyes. I don't. Like, the burden of proof isn't on me. You're the one who's making extraordinary claims here, buddy.
Hey, he's asking you to look into his soul. Okay. As we all know, windows.
That's too close for me.
Windows to the soul, eyeballs.
I don't need to be intimate with any of these wrestlers.
No, but if you saw his soul, you'd know it's the same soul.
He's the same. Oh, boy.
He hasn't changed at all.
Okay.
Sting's still Sting.
Where's your thumb?
Oh, that was a middle for me. And incidentally, Cage, put on it's cold out there.
No, absolutely not. Okay. Cage, continue to show off them nipples. That's what we've been.
All right,
you're getting paid for it. So
hey, man, that's what he gets paid for. Next, we're gonna see them cut through glass. All right, so next match. This one is very anticipated. Thunder Rosa versus Britt. We saw a little bit of a recap of the beef between the two of them. Thunder Rosa is fucking badass. She starts the match off right away, like no funny business, just getting right to it. And God, at one point she did this double kick to Britt's face. I just can't. It was a really brutal match.
I have no complaints, honestly. I have zero notes. Like, I didn't take any notes. I was just like engaged from front to back, just like yep. I watched through the commercials.
Yeah.
When they went to picture in picture, I continued to watch the match. Yeah. That is not a thing that I do very often because, well, you know.
Because everybody's got it.
It's difficult.
That's my show. That's Robbie's time right there.
It's difficult, you know. difficult to focus. Like we're frequently being distracted by pizzas of a major Michigan city style.
Detroit isn't a bad word.
Or chalupas with pork products in them, which to some people here, apparently it's an abomination. And I know.
Bacon on a chalupa?
I'm not saying.
All right. Okay. So anyways, it was a really gruesome match. And Britt won only because she hit Rosa on this exposed turnbuckle. But Thunder Rosa, here's what they did differently that they should have done. Excuse me. I got too excited there.
How dare you?
That they should have done for the Sheeta match where she was like, you know, bleeding and shit. Thunder Rosa passed out or was knocked out from it, right? But they had the doctor come out right away when the match was called. That fucking sells it. And then the doctor helps her get up and walk off, you know. Yeah. And then she gets to perform as a, you know, what's going on? Who am I? Kind of thing. I mean, that was great, right? That really fucking sells it. So there was just like no reason Britt should have won other than the fact that there were some dirty shenanigans that happened because Thunder Rosa was that good. And so when someone loses in a dirty way, you feel a little better about it because they beat ass and they showed their stuff, you know, but the heel won. And that was, you knew that was going to happen. But for a period of time, you thought maybe it might not.
Yes,
just
indeed.
Maybe. So thumbs up.
Indeed. Yep. Oh yeah. Yeah. This was just the, like some of the women they have that are really doing it in and out of the ring, like just exceptionally compelling physical like moves that were resonating. So it was great. Yep. And Britt right now has about as good a sidekick or manager or whichever as anybody in the whole company right now, if you ask me.
It's a great dynamic, especially when she comes in badass mode, you know, like before this match, and Reba's just like running around behind her, just like bouncing around. It's great visual. It's great to hear, you know, just to hear like, and all of it is just magnificent.
Is that how women sound to you?
I think, Jen, I think what you're thinking of is a Mars Attacks Martian.
Yeah,
you know what? She would make an excellent Mars Attack Martian. Yeah.
That is a fact. No, it's like it's this thing that is it's not like Vicky Guerrero. Like what it is like a like when Sami Zayn was being the guy for Shinsuke Nakamura. Or I like, you know, whenever you have like the big quiet dog and the little yappy dog. Yep. that is like also mm-hmm. not just yappy, like annoying, but like unreasonably chipper to boot.
Yeah.
And that's something I really enjoy. Like Nikki Cross was like that.
Oh, Nikki's great at that.
Yeah, very much.
So our next match, apparently last week there was a big money mat and
no whammies.
Adam Hangman Page had a little back and forth and they agreed to tag on this match. So we have a match with Hangman Adam Page. I don't know how I said his name a moment ago, but Hangman Adam Page.
Hangbert Black and Jade.
I'm just going to throw all these words together.
Hangbert Humperdink.
Anyways, him and Big Money Matt, who is really healing it up, by the way.
Oh, man.
Versus Serpentico and Luther. No one asked for this match, but we're going to get it.
Well, the Chaos Project delivers chaos. That's what they do and are. Well, this was the negative negative one match, was it not?
Well, it was the revenge on the you destroyed a birthday party thing, which, you know, again, we weren't really, who was all that upset about it, right? But here we are. We've got this match. And, you know, really it's there just because it's continuing a story like a lot of these matches can be. It was decent. It was short. Matt did again tag himself in like he did before and then pin. So, and when he did, he looked like the happiest little kid, like super excited and like amped and just like, just looked like a little kid. And Hangman was like, all right, whatever. he does not want to sign with Matt. He does not want to be, you know, in another grouping with Matt at all. So this is supposedly a one-off. We'll see. But I gave it a thumbs up.
Yeah, I gave it a thumbs up. Hangman still is real hit or miss with me. He connects sometimes, other times not. He does have some great facials, though. And again, that juxtaposition, like when Hardy goes in to like hug him,
yeah,
just the look of like, ugh, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
It's just fun. It's just fun. Yeah. Shivani, for some reason, says, Luther's a weird cat. Guy paints his head like that. And I'm like, like what? He puts like a little dot on his head. Meanwhile, there's plenty of people running around who have their entire face or just half their face or just any number of weird configurations of face paint. He never brings up like, oh, that Darby Allin's a weird cat.
Like Sting's is totally fine.
Yeah, Sting.
Well, I think like that's you know, we're through the looking glass. This is a world. This is a Twilight Zone world where it's small amounts of face paint that are troubling to everyone.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. In this side of the glass, who is the Jabberwocky? I wonder.
Who we are. We are the Jabberwockies.
I am legend is what that is.
So, I'm sorry. Did you guys all thumb it?
I middled it. Like it was definitely fine. I was actually kind of interested in what was the result of that previous segment, and this was fine, I guess. Like I like maybe if negative one had been there, like to be a part of the proceedings, it would have.
But he wasn't upset about it. Matt is the one that convinced Hangman to be upset about it and to have a match. So you know what I'm saying? Like he was really instigating that.
Also, there was the segment, beforehand in the locker room that like was precipitated by like a weird talk about getting undressed in weird places that still sort of like lingered over the whole thing, which was I don't know.
Well, I did find it satisfying that Hangman was now enjoying the benefits of an enclosed space to change in. That was nice for him.
I don't know. It felt like a little awkward in the way that an enclosed space with a person who you don't entirely trust while you're taking your clothes off would be.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the camera crew is going to keep them honest.
Well, that makes it less awkward.
No, the first rule of documentaries is you do not interfere. So that camera crew wouldn't have done shit had anything gone down. Just so you know. Where's your thumb?
I gave it a thumbs up because I think the match itself was very good.
Yeah.
And it, the whole story, not particularly interested, but it was just like, okay, this is good wrestling, well executed and fine. Yeah. It's doing exactly what it's supposed to be doing. So good.
Then we've got an announcement of a women's world champion tournament in Japan.
My goodness.
This looks...
Or it's a tournament like everywhere, but it's like half of it is in Japan. The other half's over here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood. I thought they were having it in Japan. Okay.
That's why I think it's fantastic because you have all these people that can't come over
right
because of COVID. So like Fuck it, do it over there.
Yeah, yeah. So we have an entire Japanese league and then an entire American league, and it is full of amazing performers, and I cannot fucking wait. It looks like it's gonna just be super brilliant, so I gave it a thumbs up.
I'll give that a thumbs up. I'm ready for this.
It's just an announcement, but I'm excited.
Yeah, like the names I know, the names I don't know. It all seems great. Because it's a split between two countries, like tournament. I was imagining like the turn of phrase that was in my head was, it's like a wrestling mullet tournament. America in the front, Japan in the back.
That's super weird. In fact, you might have also canceled out the burrito metaphor that you made earlier that I was so pleased by.
I don't know if I would call what I just said as something as coherent as a metaphor.
All right. So our next little bit is, we're backstage. Jericho and MJF are all excited. They got some bubbly. They go in their dressing room and they want to celebrate. But Sammy's pissed. And he's like, how come we're always collateral damage? You say every win is all of us, but it just doesn't feel like that. I did notice that they had a Pepsi fridge in there and it was empty. So that's really sad. It was like, it had a glass door and there was nothing in it. And that made me sad for them. Because I assume as incredible athletes, they drink nothing but Pepsi. Anyway, so Sammy storms off and Jericho goes to talk to him. And MJF takes that time to what looks like maybe take over the inner circle. He's like going to have a powwow with those guys, or a chat. Sorry, I don't mean to use terms people don't like, but
it's
out of my mouth. Anyway, and then JR said, well, sure doesn't look like there's no peace in the valley. And I was like, man, that is a funny thing to say.
In my opinion, it's very difficult to say with certainty what goes on like in there from that point, because the camera crew, who you think is studiously like unaligned, in fact does align themselves by exiting the room.
They don't do it on their own. Wardlow forces them out. He gets up, walks over to them, and closes the door on them. Which, do you think any of those camera dudes are gonna like stand up to Wardlow?
They're aligned with their unbroken face, is what they're aligned with.
Basically, they're aligned with the fact that their equipment costs so much money.
But what I wonder is, like, the presumption would be of some kind of violent like coercion going on. Maybe it's just a kissing party.
You know, like, we have had our suspicions that MJF was going to try and take over the inner circle, and this looks like it's signaling to that. However, yeah, they could be having a kissing party. We don't know.
That's the way I would like to imagine minds being changed.
It's a Schrodinger's cat situation, right? We've got they are equally all having a kissing party in there and not having a kissing party in there, right? It's existing currently, and it also is not. So we won't know.
This is the single worst description of a quantum event that I've ever heard in my entire life. And weirdly, I'm not sad about it. So there's that.
It's a thumbs up.
I'm proud for our contributions to the STEM sciences category.
Yeah.
The STEM sciences? Is that like, is there a STEM within the science? Okay.
The science of STEMs.
Plant science. Yeah.
But I'm just giving it a...
Just thumb it so we can move on.
I'm giving it a thumbs up simply because at the beginning of that whole segment, MJF says, that's what I'm talking about, Mark Vez. Like, why? Why would you even? It doesn't even feel offensive. And yet somehow pure delight.
I like when you put the right inflection on an innocuous slam or word, it just really works. Like when you call some, when in wrestling, if you call someone a dick, if you say it right, it's like, oh shit.
Damn it, you're going to make me go on another subject now, because my friend and I had exactly that thing where we would do yo mama jokes, but they were compliments. Like, your mama's so nice, she made me a bowl of pudding. Like, your mama's like just dumb stuff. Your mama's got such pretty hair, looks like she's got pudding in her hair. And it's dumb, just the dumbest stuff. But pudding, for some reason, played a heavy role in those jokes.
Pudding is pretty good.
Yeah, I
up this segment, even though it felt a little repetitive. It was still pretty good, I guess.
Okay, now we do have to. And I apologize because I'm the worst one, but we do have to start picking up the pace, unless people don't mind listening for a long time.
Oh, no, no, we can definitely pick up the pace. Thumbs down in this wedding. Okay, we're done. Move on. Let's not even talk about it.
I loved it.
Just skip over the entire. Oh,
I loved it. So we have the wedding, and this officiant looks like he was the backup for Big Bad Voodoo Daddy photo shoot.
His name is the Sinister Minister Jim Mitchell.
Okay.
He has been a manager for a long ass time. I was quite a fan of him back in the ECW days. He was in TNA for a long time. You know, he's been around.
He said unholy matrimony, to have and to grope, kayfabing all others. You may kiss the ball and chain. I mean, it was great. I was cheesing. Yes. To borrow a phrase from the 90s, I was cheesing.
I appreciated that his sleazy patter went both ways. I think that was important.
Yeah.
And then Miro had a speech, basically alluding to the fact that he's had experience with some weddings. And because of his terrible, disastrous experiences, there was this big present in the ring and he beat up the box. There was nothing in there. And he started this speech by saying, you know, what is love? And the crowd started going, what is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. I mean, and they kept doing it, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
Turns out Charles the butler, and while he was distracted, shackled Miro to the ring. And then underneath the cake was... and he starts beating up Kip Sabian, and Penelope goes into the cake. But then under the cake, what pops out from under the cake is Orange Cassidy, who beats everybody up like crazy. And Penelope was sad. I gave the whole thing a thumbs up. It was great.
Interesting.
All right. All right. Let's see. I love the Sinister Minister. Jerry Lynn walks Penelope down the aisle, not entirely sure why, but it was great seeing him. He's another old ECW mainstay and also just like a great indie wrestler. Kip had a toothpick in his mouth the whole ceremony. I was like,
he had it in his mouth before he had to say his vows, which, by the way, were the best heel vows ever.
Also, I thought that Penelope had gum in her mouth. I wasn't sure. She may have just been like had a dry mouth and was just like.
Yeah. Is your downbeat like perspective on this segment about whether or not she had enough for everyone?
It was not, but I won't say that it didn't add in to my concerns about the segment.
She both did and did not. You guys, we are doing Schrodinger's again.
Schrodinger's mouth. Oh, boy.
Schrodinger's gum.
As a theater guy, seeing them struggle with the height of the mic stand, I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Like, how much money did you put into all this? And you still... You gotta make that right. You gotta make sure that mic is at the right height for everybody. You get a second mic if you have to. Mm-hmm. Come on, man. You're a professional organization. I wanted it to
be more trouble.
I hope that I'm as dope as the Sinister Minister is in 10 years, because I looked up and that's how much older he is than me. So, like,
we can certainly all aspire to his eyebrows.
Right? Yeah, dude works at it, and I appreciate the effort.
And his beard.
The power vested in me by AEW and Tony Khan, so that made me giggle a little bit.
Those are not legitimate marriage sanctioning bodies.
That's not true. You don't know who God is.
Yeah.
AEW could much be God.
You know what? If Miro's new catchphrase is "What is love?" I'm for it.
Yeah, man.
Tony Khan, buy "What is love?"
Oh, I would sing that.
Oh, that would be a hell of an entrance.
Hell yeah.
Man, if you're going to dump somebody in the cake, it's got to be buttercream frosting and not fondant. It didn't get all over her face.
There was some. They added some little creamy things to the top so that it did get on her, but it really wasn't much.
Yeah. It was.
It could have been a cardboard cake for all I know.
Poor execution on the cake splat. We go to picture in picture.
Yeah.
The fuck?
This was so we could watch a very interesting decision. Yeah, well. I think a lot of people.
I like to see the back behind the stage, you know, behind the scenes type stuff.
We all, you know, like it's nice to have a peek behind the curtain to see how the magic gets cleaned up.
When I see an elaborate display, and especially a really messy one, one that everything breaks, you know, within, I want to see someone clean it up. I'm kidding. I don't. That's like my worst nightmare. That gives me anxiety.
I will say on the reels, I don't like seeing brides crying after wrestling weddings. It's for some reason that sort of breaks the reality in my mind, because like they are legitimately getting married if they're not already married. And so like, obviously this is all just, you know, for the show. Even still, like thinking about like, you know, this very special day, and like Kip is mad, great, and if she were mad I'd be fine with that, but when she's sad I'm like, no, that's terrible.
Yeah, that was
why are
sad.
We doing this, who's the bad guy here?
No,
anyway,
thumbs.
For me, it was a middle, because I didn't dislike it, but it was definitely underwhelming after months of building up to this. And the idea that I was like, they'll do this differently and also better from WWE, and they did it differently, but that mostly meant it was like milder and somewhat less interesting. Like the Lana, Bobby Lashley wedding at least was crazy. And this was not quite as interesting as that, so that was disappointing for me. Yeah, but there were definitely some good moments to it, just not enough.
Taste the rainbow, people.
I thought it was great, and I liked that it wasn't that nuts. I thought it was, but you know what? Whatever. You guys should, everybody at home, watch it and decide for yourselves. And I think you'll agree with me, but. Well, I don't know. Maybe I'll agree with one of the other two options you have.
If this ends up being a skip around rated episode, I would definitely not put that on there. Oh. So,
anyways, the next thing that comes up is Shaq has a response. He's going to wrestle Cody Rhodes.
Do we have to do this?
He calls him Cupcake Cody Rhodes. He says he's got a signature move called the Black Tornado. That's really all we need to say about this segment.
Okay, right?
I mean, there wasn't much else. He doesn't sound, it just doesn't seem like he's going to be very agile. Impossible to lift. So I don't know how Cody will do any moves.
I did note that the Black Tornado, I believe, is a Judas effect. I'm not entirely sure. But other than that, my remaining notes for this segment are, this is no. Period. No. That is letter for letter what I wrote in my notes.
I do want to talk through Shaq's execution of the Black Tornado. I think it's very difficult to say what move it is or is not because of how slow and small a range of motion we saw it, you know,
looked
so
like
that
some kind
I don't
quarterback move.
he certainly gave hell to the COVID protection partition. But how that's going to translate to a person is anyone's guess.
As Chong Li from the great classic film Bloodsport says, bricks not hit back.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. All right. Then we've got the lumberjack match. Eddie Kingston versus Lance Archer. There are no disqualifications. It starts immediately. There's a lot of people around the ring. Some people I'm not familiar with, but, there's a lot of people you do know, like, you know, the family, Billy Gunn, Hollywood Hunk is there. The Pretty Pete, whatever his name is, Pretty Peter something or other.
Peter Avalon.
It was pretty fun to watch. This is actually a really fun match. Anytime these guys got outside of the ring, the people that were standing on the sidelines went fucking nuts. So it was like this really funny thing when you're used to, wrestlers getting out of the ring here and there because of a certain move or whatever. But they couldn't do that at any point because anytime they did, people would come from either side and just rush them. So that was fun. There was Archer is really pounding Eddie, and an announcer said, it takes a lot of punishment to take out Eddie Kingston. I was like, that's the fucking truth. Bunny interrupted, and Lance almost did a move on her, but yeah. Eddie knocked him in the throat. Jake Roberts decked Angelico, but fell over, which I don't think he meant to do that.
I think he just sacrificed himself for the sake of the shot. So, like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Blade set up a table in the ring in probably just trying to set Eddie up for something. But then some guy comes in and knocks the Blade into the table. I don't know that guy. They said something about Bear Country. I think that means something to someone out there.
That's the team that those two guys are in. They've done dark matches, I think, primarily.
Okay.
Their name is Bear Country, and I've heard some buzz about them. Never seen them personally, and I'm already 100% into seeing this feud because, I'm seeing Butcher and Blade facing off against these two giant Bear Country dudes. I'm like,
that's the type of gimmick they need to wrestle against. Because
now, when Bear Country is in or around the ring, you don't want to wear any kind of a perfume or cologne or have your food outside of a sack that you tie up to a tree because they'll find it.
Look, here's my joke on that.
Okay. I want to sit down. I want to be prepared for this.
I can't wait until we get to see them play in their concerts because, I'm a big fan of the Big Bear. Bear Country Jamboree, Bear
Country Jamboree. We gave you the time to set it up, and you still didn't nail it.
Bear Country Jamboree.
I am so disappointed.
Anyways,
That's tough.
It a thumbs. The match got a thumbs up. Lance won. You knew he would, but it was a lot of fun getting there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eddie continues to win me over to these matches that I generally don't want to see him in, but he still manages to find a way to make it entertaining.
Absolutely.
And this is all great. Yeah.
Can't wait for his wedding.
So then we've got did you guys thumb it? Did you both thumb it?
An up for me.
Okay, just making sure. So FTR had a little video that they shot just basically saying, how come why did we get disqualified? And basically they have Marco Stunt tied up and taped, tied to a chair. I'm middling it. I almost downed it because I just don't like this slant of where we're going. It's like, wrestling. I don't know.
I middled it. Like, I get why Tully is there. He's the perfect match with FTR, who are like the modern version of Tully Blanchard. But the problem is that he doesn't really shore up the spots where FTR is lacking, mm-hmm. he's just sort of like so similar to them that like what they do, he can do. And I mean, you know, maybe he does it a little better, or the, you know, there's the legacy attached to it, but still like the sort of flash that they need to really go over, I think Tully doesn't have either. And that's why people like him. But then there's no reason for him to be there. And so the whole thing, just like, I get it. It's fine. I almost thumbs it down, but I went in the middle because like it's doing what it's supposed to be doing. So just let it be.
Hmm. Yeah, it was a middle for me as well. I don't know. I'm not ever really like that interested in those segments myself.
All right. So then we've got another promo. It's a Joey Janela promo. He's facing Darby Allin next week. And I don't know. He sounded a little grittier. So we'll see how this match goes. But it was fine. I gave it a middle. Didn't do much for me.
Thumbs it down, and I feel bad because, I mean, in terms of promo quality, it was exactly the same as the FTR just before it. So, like, why did I give him a down and give them a middle? And I guess it's just because there's just, I don't care. Maybe it was cumulative, and I'm like, okay, yeah. Two in a row. This sucks even more, so...
For me, it's an up because I was intrigued by the idea of Janela being, Oh God, it was not worth that. It was not worth that. If I could go back, I liked the idea of, toughening up, Joey Janela. I was disappointed, like, because I was like, oh, why is Sonny Kiss backing Joey Janela for this when it could be the other way around? Like to me, that would have been super fun and would have offered something differenter. But I still like what it seems like it would be.
All right, so now we're down to the match of the night, and it cannot be overstated how fucking incredible this match is. Like, it's a absolute must watch. Six-man tag team with Omega and the Good Brothers versus Pac Muxley and Rey Fénix. Fucking A, Rey Fénix, man.
Oh man,
I can't even. There's this one move he did. I wrote down what the announcer said. It sounded like he said diving reverse headbutt. I don't know, but it fucking looked like he was flying. Like,
yeah,
It just did not make sense in my brain how he pulled off what he did. There were deadlift German suplexes. I mean, things were too fast to even make note of. Like, the action was nonstop. The moves were mind blowing. It was really great. Now, Anderson and what's his face?
Gallows.
Gallows and Anderson. Gallows. I am not a big fan of them. I liked them when they had their gimmick with AJ Styles, but I was never really a fan of watching them in the ring, even within that grouping. And I still sort of feel the same way about them. So I liked it when, you know, people would tag, you know, Moxley was incredible, you know, but when Fénix or Pac would tag in, the energy just went through the roof on these matches. And, you know, Omega's fucking great. Everything about it was fantastic. So along with this, Anderson ended up pinning Fénix, which looked like just a shocking disgrace because it just really didn't seem like that could ever be possible the way it had been going up until then. So the Murder Hawk runs in to beat up the Good Brothers and Omega. And then Moxley has then the opportunity. He starts crawling towards Omega and he gets up and it looks like he might do something. And then someone comes out of nowhere and blindsides Omega. And it's Kenta. And he does a little go to sleep move on him. And basically he wants to challenge Moxley. But yeah, this was fucking unreal. This whole thing, including this insane reveal at the end. I mean, there aren't enough thumbs to make the up forceful enough.
Yeah.
Agreed. This is the pace that I want for every six-man tag match. Mm-hmm. And like this is, yeah, as good as it gets. Where things are just happening so fast, but they still space it out. So you see it, you feel the impact when, you know, something big happens. And then just as you're catching your breath, something else comes along and just keeps carrying you through the whole thing. And it's just phenomenal. I don't have a good grasp of the Japanese scene, so I'm unclear exactly, you know, where Kenta is and what Moxley has. Like, yeah, apparently he has the IWGP US belt and he never carries it around, so I have no idea that that's a thing.
Yeah.
So, but the fact that these territories are starting to work together, mm-hmm. is just amazing, because I grew up in an era where I just had the WWF and that was it. And I was vaguely aware of some of these other territories, but all I got was WWF television, mm-hmm. period. And then when I learned about how all the other territories basically existed, they were already gone because the WWF had crushed them. And to see this resurgence after what's been like 40 years or something like that, you know, like you had WCW, you know, and you had some like smaller promotions sort of like kicking and clawing and, you know, sort of being number three, or, you know, or number two is like so far below number one, to now think that like, shit, man, we might see IWGP crossing over with AEW and NJPW, you know, like New Japan and ROH, and TNA is already happening. And, you know, like so much interesting things, so many that could be happening. It's kind of blown my mind a little bit, even though, again, I don't know enough to have a mind to be blown. So
it's pretty remarkable. And like, this was something that was being talked about from basically the formation of AEW, and was whether or not like a partnership like this could happen. And it seemed like there was a lot suggesting that it might not be possible, certainly not anytime soon. And like, there was talk like from the New Japan side, well, you know, that door is closed. AEW's attitude was they didn't see it that way. You know, the upstarts probably more likely to feel that way. But you know, like, there was so much commonality that it's, you know, like, it seemed like there was never going to be like a total end to the talk, and AEW just keeps being the ones that make good on the possibilities of that, you know, like when there's a legend out there like Sting, they get Sting. When there's a top indie wrestler in the world, they get the top indie wrestler. When there's a promotion like to partner with that benefits them, like, they get Kenta from New Japan, they get Thunder Rosa or Serena Deeb from NWA, they get the Good Brothers and Don Callis from Impact. And that's it's hard to overstate what insane good there is to everyone when there is that kind of mixing. Like, in all respects, diversity benefits everyone. No one loses when you open those doors. Everyone looks better and has more stuff that they can enjoy. So that's pretty exciting that it actually is coming to fruition. And there's just no knowing what the extent of this thing is going to be. But we can only hope that it's going to be anything like what they've done so far in the previous partnership. So that's super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. This match especially kind of showcases some of the best things about AEW and why it's such a great company, and why this is something that I would imagine, you know, wrestlers want to be a part of. just fantastic, you know, talent, fantastic television, fantastic twists and turns and excitement. You know, it has a lot of places it can still go. It's nowhere near, you know, we've barely seen it begin. You know what I mean? It's going to go in some incredible avenues, and I'm very excited. I'm happy to be here.
I was looking back through some of our old ratings for the older shows. I'm like, my God, like, how did we make it through WWE television with so many just bad ratings? And this one here, honestly, this is one of the worst AEW ratings we've had. It's a 77%, which is still a worth watching, you know, rating. The entire episode is still good enough, even, you know, when they have Shaq on. It's still a good-ass show.
Yeah, it's fucking phenomenal. I'm excited. And you know what? We have some exciting things we will be able to bring to our audience
soon.
A lot sooner than I ever thought.
You know what? I think we should keep it to ourselves permanently. I'll say that.
Let's do a thing and never release it.
Yeah. Let's promise we'll do a thing. Let's arrange all of this and then just never air it.
It's gonna have happened and also not happened.
Event. I almost said what it was, and I'm like, I can't.
You know, you've already spoiled that it is an event.
I'm saying our event. Calder, you. I meant event, like us, our show.
Fair enough.
All right. We're going to get ourselves in trouble. So
thank you for listening. We love you. Please stick around because, fun things are in the future.
We love y'all. And I'm not good with the social medias, but I'm trying to get it started for myself to be better. So there's an AE double back Instagram now.
Reals?
Yeah, for reals.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You can message us, which, you know, you can message us on Twitter. You can message us now on Instagram if you like. If you have questions, you can follow us. I am still not great at it, but I promise to get better.
We're doing this. We're doing it for you.
We're doing it for you guys.
It's all for you, Damien.
Thank you.
And you know what? I always imagine myself speaking into a void, but there is no void. There are ears out there somewhere.
Sure.
And if not, then it'll be real sad. Never mind. I'm not going to. I can't say anything else because I'll say something I'm not allowed to. Okay, bye.